Hello and welcome to a special podcast where we look back on the October 2009 Synod of Bishops for Africa that met in Rome. Just a few days before the end of the synod, we joined Bishop John Rawsthorne down the line from the studios at Vatican Radio. Bishop John, as well as being our very own Bishop of Hallam, is chair of CAFOD's Trustees, the Catholic Agency for Overseas Development. Bishop John was invited to take part in the synod, and we joined him for a roundtable discussion on the church in Africa. In the studio here was Monsignor John Dale, National Director of Missio, the church's official mission support agency, and Cecilia Taylor-Kamara, Senior Policy Officer for the Office for Migration and Refugee Policy at the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. I started by asking Bishop John Rawsthorne to describe his experiences.
Well, I've never been to a synod before, and I think this was probably a very special one because of the focus of the synod. It is the church, family of God, at the service of reconciliation, justice and peace. So it's very focused, although that's a very broad area. And it's brought together 227 bishops, mostly from Africa, a handful from other countries like myself, usually with the sort of hat that I have, which is I am invited as chair of CAFOD. And then a fair number of advisors and other people are there as well. But it is a bishop's synod, so it's 227 bishops listening to each other.
I actually, when looking at what's happened so far, took note of Cardinal Turkson of Cape Coast, Ghana, one of his comments when he said, "It is the Universal Church's discernment about how to keep Africa's enormous spiritual lung healthy for humanity in fulfilment of her mission as salt and light." I thought that was lovely. That's a good
That's a terrific, great way of putting it. Yes, it is. I mean, Africa is just such a huge... There are 53 countries in Africa, you know, from Egypt and the whole of North Africa down to South Africa. Mm-hmm. And the differences are incredible. You cannot make generalizations about Africa.
Doesn't that make it quite difficult having a synod for Africa? I mean, as you say, so many different countries with many, many different challenges. Does that make conversations difficult?
I don't think it does. I think over the years, people, there are different already regional organizations of bishops, and the CECAM, which is the African continental organization of bishops. And I think they're used to talking to each other now. Of course, this is the second synod for Africa. The first one was in 1994 and gave birth to the exhortation Ecclesiae in Africa, the church in Africa. So this, and that was the church family of God in Africa. And this is the church family of God at the service of.
Let's talk a little bit about some of CAFOD's concerns as well. I mean, I know we can't generalise, as we've just said, but there are issues of governance and, of course, of aid and development. How much have you been interested in those areas with your CAFOD hat on?
Well, obviously, I'm interested in all those areas in a particular way because CAFOD has been there for a very long time in a lot of those countries. And these days, of course, good governance is one of the key issues. So CAFOD is working with various bishops' conferences on good governance, on conferences, on schools and so on in that regard. But that's not, I mean, HIV/AIDS would be another big issue. Development is another issue. CAFOD has a lot of interests in Africa.
How important do you think it was that the Holy Father, Pope Benedict, actually visited Angola and Cameroon within the last 12 months for the Church in Africa?
I think it was very important indeed. His presence in Africa meant a huge amount to the Church in Africa and to a much wider audience than the Church, but it did mean a tremendous amount. And there are constant references among the bishops to his visit there and to what he said while he was there and so on. I have a funny feeling that that Lung of Africa reference was the Pope's originally, wasn't it? I think he used the phrase somewhere.
Oh, it's a marvellous quote. It's a marvellous quote. And it does seem to sum up what's going on out there. Because sometimes you have a fear that, you know, I mean, a great many bishops, clearly with a great many experiences, but you wonder whether actually anything will be taken forward from those discussions. Are you fairly confident that it was a really worthwhile experience?
Well, I speak as an outsider, don't I? Mm. But as an outsider, I would say there is huge concern on all the key issues, addressed with passion on occasion. I don't know if you know the system that the Synod works under. Halfway through the second week, a small group begins to work on the statement that the Synod Fathers will make themselves at the end of the Synod. And then into the third week, the Synod Fathers are working on the propositions, which are not published and which are presented to the Holy Father, so that he can compose his apostolic exhortation, which usually comes out about a year or slightly more after the synod. So if the document that I've seen so far for the bishop's statement comes out as I've seen it, it will be a very powerful statement, I think. And it touches all the nerves that need to be touched.
Are there any elements of that you can discuss with us right now? Does it talk about inter-religious dialogue, for instance?
It touches on all the issues which have been talked about. The press have had the speeches and so on that people have made, haven't they? And they're all, in some way or another, touched on it. So interfaith dialogue is a key issue. More important an issue in certain parts of Africa than in others, obviously, but that is a key issue. Poverty is a key issue. Tribalism and ethnicity is a key issue. One of the very interesting things I felt about this synod has been that the church has said, we cannot be reconcilers unless we are reconciled within ourselves. And so the honesty with which the church has faced up to the issues which are issues for them is quite something. Tribalism plays its part in church relationships. You know, a priest is not accepted by the people he serves because he's not of the same tribe or the wrong tribe or whatever. A bishop perhaps not truly accepted by the priests of the diocese because he is not of the same tribe or of the wrong tribe and so on. That sort of thing is in certain parts of Africa, is a very real issue. Then the whole question of wages, just wages, that issue for the people who are employed as catechists and so on in the church in Africa, that's come up more than several times as something that has got to be addressed if the church is to be just internally, so that it can talk about justice externally.
Now, I think that's a fascinating issue. Monsignor John Dale, are they the very factors that you have to consider as well when evaluating missionary activity in Africa?
Yes, obviously we're coming at it from a slightly different angle. As the Pontifical Mission Society's missio is there to support the bishops in their endeavours to build the local church. So we're supporting bishops, diocesan administrations, seminaries, children's work, medical care and so on. And yes, I think, Bishop John, you're absolutely right. I think the church in Africa is very brave in so many ways, facing up to these key issues. We know that the church in Africa is alive, it's enthusiastic, there's a vibrancy there that we don't always see in other parts of the world. But for me, I think it's their witness in the face of so many different kinds of struggles, both internal and external, is really their gift to the universal church.
That's the end of part one of our three-part roundtable discussion on the October 2009 Bishop's Synod for Africa. If you're not already there, visit catholicchurch.org.uk and click on part two to continue.